It's about giving them a quite holistic guidance about their life, where they're standing, and of course, giving them answers to specific questions they have.
Welcome to Forever Young, the health and well-being podcast from Lanzerhof. My name is Mario Pedizzoli, and in every episode, join me in conversation with a variety of health experts and special guests as we explore what it means to live well. We may not find the secret to eternal youth, but join me on our quest as we explore just what it means to live a balanced, healthy, and happy life. Hello again and welcome. In today's show, we take a fascinating look at the topic of intuition and trusting our intuition. To put it another way, it is the ability to understand something instinctively without any need for conscious reasoning. And we all know that feeling, that gut feeling, in fact, a knowing, or at the very least, a gentle persuasion that something is not quite right or needs our attention. It's subtle in nature, which is why it's easily missed. Understanding and harnessing our intuition can bring extraordinary results. And to help us get to the bottom of all of this is Martin Zoller, intuitive futurist and one of the world's most renowned psychic consultants. On an individual level, Martin uses the power of intuition and his expertise to help clients recognize their personality, help choose future pathways, and to discover their potential. And Martin's extraordinary lectures and seminars cover the power of intuition and the higher self all over the globe, including, in fact, at our very own Lanzerhof Wellness Resort in Tegernsee in the Bavarian Alps. And I am delighted to say we welcome Martin at the end of September for the first time here at Lanzerhof at the Arts Club, more of which later in this show. Martin, a very warm welcome to you and great to speak to you again.
Thank you, Mario. Thank you very much for this beautiful introduction about the power of intuition. You said it in a beautiful and very philosophical way, and basically down to earth, very, very wise, I would say, because for many people still is intuition still is something very unclear and difficult to capture, but with your words, it became a very nice form and it's very understandable. So thank you very much for that.
Well, thanks. I think the last time we spoke on a previous webinar, that helped me understand a lot, and more of that later as well. But there is much to discuss today, Martin. And I think we can all somehow relate to our instinct. And maybe we all have examples of how we've listened to our gut instinct, or maybe not listened to it and regretted it. So how do you best describe this sense of intuition?
Intuition is the ability to acquire knowledge or insights about basically anything without personal knowledge or experience to what you see or know. So it's basically the art of receiving information beyond time and space about individuals or about collective groups or about ongoing situations within the society, within a business, within a political development. And what makes intuition very interesting is that it's completely free of personal experiences, meaning that a seer or an intuitive guide can reach insights to information he or she has never personally experienced or even necessarily studied. And that's also the difference between instinct and intuition, which is almost the same, but it's not really the same, because instinct we also know from the world of animals, where, for example, puppies instinctively know how to drink the milk from the mother. Mm. Or within nature, animals who know instinctively how to react if there is a danger, or if they let's say, intuitively they feel that something is wrong, and instinctively they know how to escape. So that's maybe the best way to describe the difference between intuition and instinct. And of course, we humans have both as well. We have an instinct and we have intuition. Instincts, for example, could be information we know genetically or we have been taught since generation within our society. That would be instinctive knowledge, and intuitive knowledge would be the information or the insight which helps us to put in active instinctively or instinctive feelings and knowledge or even experiences as well. And that makes intuition very, very powerful and interesting. The fact that you are able, as I said before, to connect to insight which you have never, and even people before, never went through, so didn't experience it in that way, the situation is coming up in a close or far away future.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, thanks for clarifying the difference there between instinct and intuition. The other expression we hear a lot is our gut feeling. Could you talk a little bit about that and why we talk about our gut?
Yes. Gut feeling, I would say, is probably, we could say, almost like very, very similar to intuition, but it can also be related to an instinct. And this, I would say, is not always very easy to distinguish, because you might be confronted with a situation you had experienced in the past and which didn't go well for you. So your gut feelings give you a bad sensation about an upcoming situation because it reminds you to what happened in the past. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you might also have a bad gut feeling about something, not because you experienced it in the past, so not as an instinct, but because your higher self, your intuitive self, knows that whatever is coming towards you is not so positive for you. So it gives you a bad feeling. It gives you a bad, let's say, stomach, which is the gut feeling. So it's almost like the same, I would say. Mm. And even for me, working with the power of intuition, it's not always fully easy to distinguish between intuition and instinct. But on the other hand, I would say, it's probably not as important as well, because what's important is that this gut instinct or gut feeling helps you to prevent something or helps you to build up something positive. And if it's 100% intuition or if it's 100% instinct or if it's of both a little bit, doesn't really matter, as long as it helps you in a productive and positive way.
Got it. If you, let's talk about yourself, Martin, actually, because with these incredible talents and skills that you've refined, do you remember a clear point when you first listened and trusted your intuition? And tell us a bit about your journey and how all this began.
Well, I would say, this is an interesting question. I would say of my growing up, of my path as a seer, as an intuitive psychic, one of the most important and first intuitive steps I took was when I left Switzerland when I was 20 years old. This was completely an intuitive step, because I was, of course, in Switzerland, I went to school, I was studying, I decided to start studying hotel management, not because I really liked it so much, but because intuitively I felt that I want to study something what allows me to leave Switzerland. So leaving Switzerland was the strong intuitive call. And then, of course, my path, my learning was trying to find different ways to do so. So one of them was the study of hotel management in Switzerland, which at the end of the day, after all, I didn't do, because a little bit later, and just a year before I should have started to study that I got in touch with a French photographer who lived in Thailand and was working there. And because I always loved art, I suddenly realized, wow, you don't need to sit in an office to be able to leave Switzerland and to live abroad. You can also do it as an artist. So I canceled the hotel management school and I decided to study photography, not because it had to be photography, but because I felt that photography in that case is a creative gate to live abroad. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, my path came completely different. I started on this journey to meditate. I came in touch with my strong intuition, which made me dropping the idea of studying photography. Also, I was already inscribed in an art university in Havana, Cuba, because that's where I wanted to study film and photography. So when I start to get in touch with my intuition, with my higher self, I somehow knew that this is actually my path. It wasn't the hotel management. It wasn't the photography. It just had to take me out of Switzerland. And once I was out, once I had the freedom to study about myself, to learn about myself, I got in touch with my pure intuition. And that's when I started to go this path. And that's when I had different teachers from different nations working with me, teaching me, helping me through 3-4 years to see how to develop the gift of the sixth sense. And this brought me to where I am today. So based to answer your question, I would say one of the most important and strongest intuitive insights I had was the one who told me, leave Switzerland to build up your life and to get in touch with your inner self.
Amazing. And in fact, someone like yourself, why are some of us more in tune with our intuition than others? What's happening there?
Well, there are different reasons. Every person is intuitive. Like, we all have the capacity of intuition. Intuition is our sixth sense. So with other words, we are not only having the basic five senses we know, but there is also a sixth sense we are born with. First. Second, as with everything else in life, not everybody has the same talents for the same abilities. Like, some people, their talent is languages. Others have numbers, science. Others, they have arts. They have the creative aspect. Others, they have the intuitive psychic ability very strong within themselves. So for those, of course, it's much more easy to connect to their intuition than for someone who doesn't have such a strong capacity for their sixth sense or for their intuition. And then there are others again who do have a strong intuition, who actually have a strong sixth sense, but society, family, whatever, religion didn't allow them to go down that path. So there are different reasons why some people don't feel so connected to intuition. But in my experience and what I'm doing now, I'm now doing like, more than 25 years. My experience showed me that each and every person can develop it. It's like if you never learned a language and suddenly you realize, wow, okay, there is another continent and they speak different languages, and you start to read books of this language and you start to see movies. It still takes you time to learn the language. And the same with intuition. It's not enough to know that there is an intuition, but it's also very important to practice it, to develop it, to work with it. Also to have the courage to make mistakes with it, because that's also how we learn. We learn through our mistakes, and only mistakes make us stronger. But slowly, we start to feel it, and then we realize it. Wow, that's something I have as well within myself, and it's fun, it's interesting, and actually I can do very much with it in my life.
So a couple of interesting things there, listening to that. You mentioned this. Is there always a battle between logical reasoning and intuition? You said sometimes it's society or religion that prevents that. Do you see that all the time? And is there always a battle? Can they ever work together?
No, there is not always a battle. And this I also had from my personal experience when I started to go down this path consciously with 20, 21, 22, 23. It was quite a battle, because I grew up in a very rational society. We were taught to study, we were taught to learn, we were taught to believe what we see and what we can touch. So suddenly to feel yourself confronted with a reality which is non-physical but still real, was, of course, quite difficult at the beginning. And then through the years, I learned how to implement this non-physical intuitive reality with the physical reality. And at one point, they have not been in competition to each other anymore, or a battle, but they became supportive. And this is what I always talk in my lectures, or what I do with my clients. I'm trying to show and to teach and to make people understand how the rational mind and the intuitive higher self, how they can work together, not to battle each other, but to complement each other. Let's say intuitively, I had this feeling to leave Switzerland. Now, the battle would have been if I would have had, my parents were always very open-minded. They supported me in this decision to leave. But maybe the battle would have been there if my father and my mother would have said, no, you have to stay. And I had to bad feelings to go. If my parents want me to stay, this would have been the battle. On the other side, if the consciousness of mind and intuition work together, it was in that case as well, when I felt intuitively that I should leave Switzerland to learn something else. And the rational mind made me analyzing how to do it by plane, walking on a boat. Of course, at the end, it was a plane. And then I had to buy the plane ticket, and I compared different prices with different airlines. So if you understand what intuition is, and if you know how your mind works, they are a perfect team.
Yes, makes sense. And actually, with that logic and reason and gut feeling discussion, should you always trust your gut? You mentioned sometimes people make mistakes, and that's life. But is your advice to generally go with your instinct and your intuition?
I would say it's definitely good to listen to it and to try to read it and to feel to it and to even to put it in practice. But of course, at the same time, doing it very consciously, and also by analyzing the way how to implement it in your daily life. Because sometimes you might feel intuitively that, let's say, your relationship is not working well. And this might be a first sign. Now, if you're too impulsive, you might take this intuitive insight, which is like a first whispering in your ear, and you might act too fast and take too drastic steps. So yes, it's good to listen to your intuition, but it's also good to analyze rationally your intuitive insight to see how to implement it in your daily life, with your family, with your friends, or in your job, with your colleagues, depending on what the surrounding and the situation is.
Yes, makes sense. On a broader scale, and this is I'd love you to tell us this story, but your skills in the past have been able to assist governments, state security services, law enforcement agencies with their inquiries and work. I know a lot of that obviously is confidential, but one story you do tell, and I'd be delighted if you could share that with us, is originally how you found that plane in Bolivia. Well, I won't say any more. Maybe if you could take over that story.
Yes, I would say this was like my international breakthrough, because it was big highlighted in the international press as well. In 1999, a small private plane with 5 passengers was traveling from the south of Bolivia. I lived in Bolivia at that time. Jacuiba, which is on the border to Argentina, the plane traveled to Santa Cruz, which is in the lowlands of Bolivia, more or less in the heartland of Bolivia. And on halfway, the plane got lost. It disappeared from the radar of the airport in Santa Cruz. Of course, family members got worried. They sent out search teams, private ones first, to try to find the plane, which wasn't successful. The second day, they took military help and helicopters and planes from the army trying to find the missing plane. And it took three days for one of the family members to come to me. and asked me if I can help them to find the plane. I said I would like to do so. I can't promise, but of course I will give it a try. And I asked for pictures of the missing passengers. I got three of the pictures. Looking at them, I saw on the picture that there was still an aura in the picture. Now, the aura is like an energy body which we all have around us. And we, even in our common language, we know the expression, oh, he has a good aura, or oh, he has a bad aura. So aura, quite most of us are quite familiar with. So the aura is not only a feeling, but for some people, it's also a visual a reality which can be seen in colors. And looking at these pictures, I saw that there has been this aura around the body on the picture, which showed me that those passengers were still alive, which was very helpful to the family members. And they were very happy about it. But then, of course, they also wanted to know if I can help them to find the plane, which I told them to please bring me a map. They did that, and I looked at the map and I reconnected to the aura of the pictures I saw 1 or 2 hours before. And then I focused on the map. I used my also my hand almost like a metal detector. Mm-hmm. And when suddenly on one tiny spot on my hand, on the palm of my hand, which I used like a metal detector, I found I felt a tippling on the hand, which for me was an indication that that's where the plane might be. I made a cross with my pen, went out to the family members, showed them the map and told them to go there for a search. The next day, because this was late in the evening already, the next day they went with research teams, helicopters and planes. They went to the area I indicated them, and that's where they found the plane. This came in CNN and even in European magazines, it was in newspapers. And even like not too long ago, maybe like 5 years ago, and this was in 1999, so maybe 2017 or 16, I gave a seminar in Frankfurt, when suddenly a young lady came up to me and she said, oh, Martin, I heard about you and about your plane many years ago, which was like for me a kind of surprise because I didn't know that this made such a big story. And I asked her if she read about it and she said, no, I didn't read about it. She told me, but I was told about it. And then she told me that she was a pilot for private planes. And at that time, 99 or 2000, in her club in Germany, they spoke about this Swiss psychic who found in faraway Bolivia a missing private plane. So even there, they talked about it. And this was a big breakthrough. And then I started to work shortly after that with the Bolivian government. I got connected with different embassies and security institutions. I was beginning of the Arab Spring. I was living in the Middle East and I was working a lot in this field in Afghanistan during the war, in Iraq during the war, in Lebanon during a conflict. So I implemented my intuitive gift not only on a personal, individual level to help people, but as well, as I said before, on a collective level, which can be very useful as well. For example, if you try to analyze the development of a certain situation, how it will evolve and how it can be done. By the way, London and England, I did several analyses, intuitive analyses about Brexit. Shortly after the referendum started, I did analysis. I published them. They're on my website, several videos about it. And even during the process of Brexit from 2016 to 2020, I did two or three videos about it, where I said how I see it going, in what direction, what it will happen, how it will be, which. And I got quite good feedbacks from people in the UK who followed my analysis and who were quite impressed from my prediction about Brexit. So for those who would like to have an idea how intuitive guidance can be used as well in a big scale, please feel free to go on my website and Google on YouTube, Google my Brexit videos.
Thanks, Martin. just an incredible story. And thanks for sharing that too. You mentioned the press coverage. It was interesting to see a picture of you back then in 1999 as a young man making your way in this world. Obviously you've received a lot of coverage since. You mentioned aura. Maybe this is a good time to talk about this, because it is one thing developing our intuition, but that is maybe a gift that you have, and maybe you can develop intuition up to a point. But I had the pleasure of interviewing you before. You surprised me and read my aura. I found all of that uncannily accurate, and actually have spoken a little bit about that since. Could you maybe explain a little bit about this part of what you do and how you read a client's aura and what it means?
Yes. The aura, as I call it, is like a photography of the soul. It basically is an energy body within and around the physical body. It's like we have a physical reality, we have a physical body with its organs, with its bones and the everything together. And we also have an energetic body, which is the aura. The aura shows different aspects of the human being. For example, it shows talents or gifts, vocations of people. It shows what they're good in. It also can show psychologically their fears, their insecurities, their powers, their strength. And then, of course, it also shows aspects from the future. It can show in what direction something is developing. It's like a GPS, or it's like the weather forecast. In the aura, I can see almost like a weather, like the weather forecast shows us how the weather is developing. The aura can show us how life of an individual or of a collective is developing. This makes it very interesting, especially working with clients, because you not only see like what is happening, but you can see how it is happening if you don't do anything with it. Let's say you're driving down a path and we see that the situation which is evolving isn't going in a good direction. So it would be too easy just to say, okay, what you're doing will not end good. Much more challenging, much more interesting, and much more beneficial, especially for the client, is if we see that something doesn't look good, but then if we try to see what can be done to prevent the problem. Let's say something about, if we want to compare it with medicine, if you're a heavy smoker and you go to your doctor and the doctor tells you after scanning your lungs, listen, doesn't look good at all if you don't stop smoking now, and if we don't do this and this and this and this and this treatment, you might die on cancer. Now you have the free will to go on smoking like crazy and die on cancer, or you take this warning as a sign and as an indication to stop smoking and to try to do everything possible to heal your lungs, to strengthen them, to do sports, whatever has to be done, whatever therapy should be done, or medical treatment to heal your body. And of course, the same can be done if we see some negativity in the aura. We can see, listen, this is the situation, looks okay, so go on. It doesn't look so good, so let's see what we can do to change the direction. And in that way, it's like a guidance. It's like a guiding people in their life and in their path. And you mentioned at the beginning, me going to Lanzerhof at Tegernsee, Germany as well. I'm working quite a lot with doctors as well, because Lanzerhof Tegernsee is a medical institution, so they do medical treatments and detox. So when I'm there, I'm working with their clients, not only on a personal growth and internal development level, but also on a physical level to see where certain blockages or physical problems are coming from, or which danger or which could come up as an uncomfortable, unwanted physical situation, and what can be done to change it. So you can cover different levels by working with people's aura. And of course, yes, everybody has an aura. And interesting enough, not only human beings have an aura, but also animals have an aura, and even projects have an aura. And that's, for example, how I work with business people or politicians, because as soon one or more people think in a project, this thought creates an aura, and this thought might have a positive outcome or a negative outcome. And so all, even situations, projects have an aura as well. And of course, plants, trees, nature also has an aura. Everything what has life has an aura.
So Martin, when you look at people, do you just see a sea of aura and colors all the time, or do you switch this on, if you like?
Yes, I switch it on and off, because seeing the aura is not only a visual aspect which you receive, but it's also an emotional, but you feel the person at the same time. Let's say someone has a very positive aura. So this is the kind of person you feel very happy with, you like to be with, you like to go out. There might be some people that have a very tense and a very hard aura, and those are the people when you're together with them, you're getting tired, you feel uncomfortable, you have this first not so positive feeling.
Yes,
so I switch it on and off. I switch it on and off, because it would be too much if there is always this receiving and giving receiving energies and feelings and emotions. Mm-hmm. So when I'm on the in the street, when I'm sitting in a plane or train, I disconnect and I don't try to connect to it. Of course, sometimes it happens anyway that something very strong is bumping up, and then I see, wow, okay, this person has something special going on. And yes, in that case, I look at that person's aura and I try to see what it is.
So you mentioned you see a lot of clients, of course, and we'll talk shortly about your trip to London. And when you meet your clients, maybe you can talk generally about this. What are the main obstacles to developing their own intuition? Obviously, you're helping them develop it, but what are the usual obstacles you come across?
Skepticism, especially at the beginning. Skepticism, and then once they're open to it, one of the main obstacles is that people are not patient enough with their own intuition. Like, even if they're not skeptical anymore, they would like to develop their intuition as well. And then they start maybe to meditate a little bit or to read books about it. But when they realize that this is a profound reality and a profound universe out there, they get lazy about it, they get comfortable about it, or it's just too complex, and then they drop it again. As I said before, intuition is like very profound, has a lot of aspects of realities, and it has to be learned. It's almost like learning a new language. If you're English speaking and you learn French or German, you know how complex it is. For me, the same with English or Spanish or any other language. It takes time, it takes months, it takes years to learn a language, and you never stop learning a language. And the same is with the language of intuition, with your intuition. You never stop learning. And even me doing it so many years, as I said before, I always get crossed with new concepts, with new ideas, with new techniques, and it's a constant learning.
Mm. You mentioned this. You mentioned meditation, and I think you use that as part of your preparation with your work, but I think you also recommend it to your clients as well. How do you meditate, and what are the routines that you like to stick to?
Well, my routine is, for example, my first meditation is always early in the morning. Like, my alarm clock is a meditation music. It's 16 minutes. So my alarm clock doesn't only wake me up, but at the same time, when I start hearing the music, I know, okay, it's 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock. I don't open directly my eyes. I keep my eyes closed and just enter in a state of meditation until the song is over. And then I open my eyes and I start my life. So that's my routine in the morning. And then during the day, I meditate from time. There isn't a specific routine, because sometimes I'm out in the street, and sometimes I have clients, and sometimes I'm traveling or I do sports. So I do meditation whenever I have some time in between. Whenever I go on a walk in nature, I take my time. I sit under a tree, I sit on a bench, and I close my eyes and I meditate a little bit. On the other hand, meditation doesn't have to be always with closed eyes. Meditation can also be sitting in nature and and looking on the tree and looking above the mountains, or sitting on the seaside and seeing the sea, or at night watching the full moon or the moon or the stars. Important is, and this also is important to connect to your intuition, is taking yourself or giving yourself time just like for introspection, because meditation is also introspection, and introspection is one of the most powerful ways to feel your intuition.
Mm-hmm. And is that a daily exercise you recommend, or several times daily, or
is that I would say even if you do it once a week, it's better than not doing at all. Of course, yeah, it's better if you can do it every day a little bit, and it doesn't need to be an hour, and you don't need to be sitting like in lotus, like they teach it in many meditation courses. Like my first morning meditation is when I lie in the bed. So I would say it's better, even if you do 5 minutes a day, it's better than nothing.
Mm. So let's talk about, two parts to your work in your upcoming week in London, which, by the way, is from the 27th of September to the 2nd of October. For more information, please do email lanzerhoff@theartsclub.co.uk. Lanzerhoff at the Arts Club members and Arts Club members will be emailed, of course, accordingly. But there are two parts to your work. There'll be the seminar, and then there's the one-to-one work as well that you will be available for. Could we talk a little bit about the content of the seminars and talks? And then secondly, let's talk about the one-to-ones and what someone can expect in an individual session with you, Martin.
Yes. So the first lecture will be Monday 27 mm-hmm. of September. That's in the evening, at the Arts Club, and the topic is about 5 simple steps to achieve more with intuition. It will be a lecture in which one I will not only talk, but I will also give practices, how to connect you to your to intuition, to the gut feeling, how to become aware with it, how to train it, and then of course also how to implement in daily life. So it's basically a lecture which shows the audience makes them experiencing where they're going to find intuition within themselves, and then how to implement it in life. And then Tuesday morning, that's the 28th of September, at Lanzerhof, I give a lecture about how to create in your life inner and external harmony, like how to build a peaceful and a harmonized ambience in life, because harmony in yourself and around yourself is very important, not only for your state of peace in your mind, but also for physical health, to be to have a better way to interact with your family members, with your husband, with your wife, with your children. So this will be the second lecture, and then I will be for individual consultations at Lanzerhof through the whole week, giving sessions in which ones I will be reading the aura in a way. We just talked about it before. So I will tell people how I see their aura, weaknesses, strengths. And of course, they can also prepare themselves with questions. They can bring up questions about their personal life, about their job, about their relationship with other people. It's about giving them a quite holistic guidance about their life, where they're standing, and of course giving them answers to specific questions they have.
So again, as someone, you did open my mind, Martin, and I recommend a consultation, and I certainly recommend attending these seminars and lectures if you are able. Places will be limited, so again, please do let us know if this is of interest to you, lanzerhoff@theartsclub.co.uk. Thank you, Martin. I believe you have a book in the offing. How is that progressing? Tell us a little bit about your book, upcoming book.
Yes, this is actually a book which hopefully should be finished by the end of autumn. We are already working 2 years on it. The book is called Strategic Intuition. Mm-hmm. And I'm writing this book in English. I'm a co-writer, and the other person I'm writing it together with is a professor in economy. His name is Dr. Thomas Zweifel. He was a professor at the Columbia University in New York. He was teaching economy in St. Gallen in Switzerland as well. He gave classes, and he has a very, very successful consulting company working with high profiling companies, banks, universities. And the book is about intuition and strategic intuition and strategic thinking. So it's like how to implement intuition in your strategic behavior, but at the same time as well, how to bring strategic thinking in your intuition. Because some people, they're very strategic, but they don't know how to implement intuition. Then you have others that are very intuitive, but they can't bring it down to earth. Mm-hmm. So the art is to be balanced in both and to know how to implement both in a very powerful and straightforward way. And I think, or we think, that we started to write this book much like a year and a half before Corona. But especially now, such a book we think is quite important, because in times when everything around us breaks apart and everything is almost like being reshuffled and the rules are almost like made new, strategic intuition can be very, very important, because many of us, we find ourselves like not alone, but under these new rules and under this new way of living, and we have to find ways how to adapt to that, and how to make the best out of it for us, for our family, for our business. And the given rule, the given concepts are not there as much they have been there before. We all know that, especially on an economical level as well. And intuition in such times of storms and of transformation, of transition, can be very, very helpful to feel how to swing on these new waves of reality.
Well, actually, the timing of that book is probably perfect, actually, after the times we are in, and probably will be useful for business and individuals alike. Martin, maybe to round off, and this has been fascinating, and thank you for your time today, but what are the rules that you live by, and what advice would you like to leave for our listeners that are maybe listening to you for the first time?
I try to living according to my inner values and the external laws, and external, not only human laws, but also laws of nature. Like really to give the best for myself, to implement it within my family, my society, the people I'm living together with. And trying to inspire others to connect to what they have as well, and trying to be able to show others what powers they have within themselves. And there is not a fix or a main rule how to do that or how I do my life, because it's also changing a lot again, especially in these times. It's very important to adapt to new rules, to new laws, to a new society, to a new way of life. But if you trust in yourself, if you're not guided by fear, but if you're guided by your gut feelings, by your intuition, and if you're driving or guiding yourself carefully through those times, you are able to bring it behind you quite productive and quite positive for yourself and others. And I think that's the way and my philosophy of life. And that's also what I like to share in my seminars, my lectures and consultations, of course.
Well, that's great advice and a wonderful way to round off this fantastic talk. Martin, it's always great to see you and talk to you. And I look forward to seeing you on the 27th of September.
Yes, Mario, thank you very much. I'm very much looking forward to see you and, of course, your beautiful stuff, which I also know some of them, at least through the Zoom meetings we had. And stay safe, all of you. It was a great talk. I'm looking forward to see all of you and, of course, as well, the audience, the people who are listening now. I would like to invite to the lectures and to the consultation, and be very happy to share my experiences and my insights with everybody who is open to it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Martin. We all look forward to that. Thank you.